Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fun Times Gamecast, episode number 16. Today we have a very special episode. We had a few things going on this week, plus we have a very large discussion topic. But, of course, we always start off. Today I have with me Mr. Mocha.
Hello.
Mr. Naruso.
Happy No Shave November, everybody.
Mr. Nyrus.
Hello.
And joining us specially today is Miss Diella.
Miss me?
Of course we did. So, let's start off with you, Miss Diella. What have you been playing recently?
I think I've played the multi-friend Lego thing. Haven't gotten that far in it. Maybe 10 minutes into the game. And I just recently completed the entirely mind-busting, blowing, whatever you want to call it, Bioshock Infinite.
Very awesome. Anything else?
I played a little bit of God of War and some, actually played some Battlefield 3 campaign.
Cool. Is that it for now?
Yeah.
Alrighty. Mr. Nyrus, how have you been doing for the past week in your gaming endeavors?
Well, I was surprised to see in Grand Theft Auto they actually sent the stimulus money in. So that was cool.
Yep.
I think that was just a rumor. But, that finally showed up, so that was kind of nice. I've been also playing Rome and seeing my little glitches. It's still got issues to work out in that game, that's for sure. But overall, I like it. And I don't think I've played anything else, really.
Okay.
Been a boring week.
Mr. Mocha, what have you been playing for the past week?
Alright, just my Rift. Checked out some of that Legos Marvel Comics Superheroes. Also checked out the game called State of Decay.
Awesome. Anything you want to talk about, any of them?
Not yet. I'm not that far in to talk about them yet.
Okay. Mr. Narmisil, how has your weekly endeavors been?
My weekly endeavors have been going quite well. I've been stuck on Final Fantasy, but I have resolved to take every crafting profession to level 50, and things are coming along swimmingly.
Very awesome. Is that all?
Yeah, pretty much. I managed to get Goldsmith and Blacksmith to level 50, so those are done, and I am slowly going through the other ones bit by bit.
Cool.
Kind of cycling around between them.
That is wonderful.
It is, because now I can pretty much make anything.
Anything and everything.
Do you get a title for Jack of All Trades for that?
No, that's only reserved for me.
Not so much that, but as far as the gathering professions are, if you spend a ludicrous amount of time in each of the areas of Eorzea, you get rewarded by a shiny pickaxe or hatchet, depending on what profession you were following, mining or botany. It's just, it has the same stats as the level 50 item that you get from the quest reward, but it's more of a status symbol that says you have no life.
So what you're saying is you have no life.
That's exactly what he's been saying.
I'm pretty sure we've already established that. This just kind of puts the final nail in the coffin.
Well, you can use your shiny pickaxe to put it in there.
Dig myself out.
You can use it to dig the hole. Okay. So, then with my weekly gameplay thing, I kind of stopped playing a little bit of Final Fantasy. I'm starting to tinker down a little bit on that.
I'm sad.
Sorry, Narm.
It's alright. I'll just, run the guild by myself.
You will do an awesome job.
So the people who are sticking around seem to enjoy the company.
There you go. I've actually played a bit of my, a bit of mobile gaming. Tiny Death Star came out. It's a people management, stock your shops kind of time-based game on mobile devices. Besides that, I've been hopping around from game to game, playing a little bit of this and that. But the past couple days, I've been locked into a browser-based game, Swords and Potions 2, by Edgebee Studios. I don't know, it's just keeping my interest pretty solid. I played the first one and it was good, and I don't normally stick to browser-based games much, but this one's just kind of, I've been playing it nonstop for the past couple days, so yeah, that's what I've been up to. So, continuing right along, we have our first bit of segment here. BlizzCon finally concluded. It happened this past weekend and is now officially completed. And there have been some major announcements. We're going to start off with some World of Warcraft. World of Warcraft is not going free to play.
Yay! Wait, what?
I will repeat again. World of Warcraft is not going free to play.
Oh, damn it.
Not a surprise.
Diablo 3, Reapers of Soul.
Man, I was hoping for some free shinies.
Sorry. No, not really. I don't know.
They got to come up with something better to lure me into that game.
So, the next bit of news is jumping along the lines of Diablo 3.
Yay!
Diablo 3, the expansion pack, Reapers of Souls, has some new extra fancy shiny stuff.
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, basically they introduced an adventure mode. So I'm going to read that directly from the website so we can get all the information nice and stockpiled right here in front of you guys so you guys know exactly what's going on. So, introduction to adventure mode. Diablo 3's upcoming expansion, Reaper of Souls, players will have the opportunity to choose between two different modes whenever creating a new game. You have your campaign mode, which is the normal gameplay, basically what you're kind of playing right now. And you have your adventure mode. In adventure mode, the majority of these story-driven elements have been removed, and all waypoints have been unlocked, allowing players the freedom to explore and play the game however they like, even across all acts. The world itself is your battlefield. Go anywhere, slay anything. These modes can be accessed at any time, and you're welcome to switch between them whenever you please. In addition, we've unlocked...
Wait. So you mean to say that I can take a level 1 character and jump straight into Inferno?
Thanks for jumping the gun there, Narm.
Okay, well, we can just cut that part out. Sorry! Just tell me when to go, and I'll do it again.
In addition, we've unlocked all difficulty levels, giving you even more control over your in-game experience. Don't want to play through the story 4 times on each of your characters? Done! Looking to farm in adventure mode at 1 difficulty, then switch to campaign at another difficulty? You've got it. Go ahead, Narm.
Wait. So you mean to tell me that I can take a level 1 character and jump straight into Inferno?
Doesn't mean you'll survive. But apparently, yes, you could.
How long do you think it would take me to kill, like, the weakest minion?
You wouldn't even survive.
Stick of Doom.
You take one hit.
Yeah. You wouldn't be able to kill it. It'd be a disappointment.
What if I had, like, a high-level character with me, holding my hand, killing everything for me? Would I be able to leech experience with that far of a level deficit?
I'm going to actually sit here and say that it's probably a negatory. I believe how the game is right now, if you do it, like if you're a low level and you're with a certain person that's higher or whatever, your experience gain is severely nerfed. So it won't benefit you at all, I think. We'll have to try and test it out and see when it comes out, but I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to work.
I still have to re-gear my barb. He's been set up for gold find for like the longest time, and after the changes, he's just kind of useless right now.
Mm-hmm. But guess what? That's just the tip of the iceberg, guys. Adventure mode also includes 2 brand new, incredibly entertaining gameplay features, including bounties and Nephilim rifts. Bounties are... Well, Having the ability to go wherever you want, whenever you want, is certainly compelling, but what if you're not in the mood to choose your own adventure, and you would instead prefer a little direction? Enter the bounties. Bounties are optional, randomized objectives, available only in adventure mode. In addition to providing players with a guided experience within a specific act, bounties are also intended to showcase all the different content Diablo 3 has to offer. Some examples of bounties you can pick up include slaying a unique monster, killing a boss, clearing a dungeon, and completing an event. Each act will have its own set of randomized bounties for players to explore and conquer, and you'll receive new bounties each time you start an adventure mode game. For completing a set of bounties, players receive gold and experience. We also want bounties to provide access to powerful legendary item unique to the system, but we're still experimenting with how that reward mechanism will work. Definitely stay tuned. Basically, what they're saying is you go into your adventure mode. You could just sit there and go through adventure mode. Oh, I just want to play this specific area for now and just kill everything here because I don't like the goatmen. Or
follow
screw
the goatmen.
I'm just saying, you know, they look funny. So
just kidding. Mr. Thomas is gonna die.
Or you can go into an area.
But then, however, will we get our Turkish delight?
Oh my God, that comes from the Queen, you asshole. That has nothing to do with Tumnus. So basically, you go into the area and this nice little quest, or you pick up a quest or something that tells you, hey, head over here and do this, and you'll get golden experience for doing what they say. It's basically like a mini quest system kind of thing. Though I don't know what level this pitcher or whoever did this bounty, but there is a little snippet of the bounty complete, and it has 340,000 experience received with 136,000 gold, so that's more gold than I've ever had at any single time. That'd be awesome to have. But wait, there's more! Bounty hunters will also be rewarded with a new item, Rift Keystones. Rift Keystones grant access to another feature in adventure mode, Nephilim Rifts. Nephilim Rifts, previously called Loot Runs, are randomized dungeons that are designed to be completed within 10 to 15 minutes. The goal of Nephilim Rifts is to provide the players with a rewarding, endless, replayable experience, one that continually offers new, exciting, moment-to-moment gameplay, as well as
will there
keeps...
finally be a cow level?
There is no cow level.
I want that t-shirt, by the way.
As well as heaps of loot. There also what senior level designer Jesse McCree likes to describe as an opportunity to break the rules. So what does this mean in terms of actual gameplay? First off, it means that Nephilim Rifts are completely randomized, featuring different content from Acts 1 through 5. Remember, 5 is going to be the new beta. The new expansion pack. Random interior, random tile sets, random layouts, random lighting and weather, random monsters, and of course, random boss encounters to cap it all off. Each Nephilim Rift dungeon can be up to 10 levels deep, but even that's random too. They have a few pictures of what the designs are. Basically, they have every single type of different layout. They even actually have a layout where the rainbows and the clouds are around, too. So, a Nephilim Rift can be that whole secret not cow level. In the spirit of breaking the rules, Nephilim Rifts also include new shrines that will provide players with some pretty insane temporary buffs. When activated, things like invulnerability, massive movement speed boost, and lightning aurora that will one-shot any enemy who gets within range. While these shrines would be overpowered in the campaign, they fit very well in the self-contained environment of Nephilim Rifts. We've had fun experimenting with monster density as well, which means there will always be a chance your Nephilim Rift, or even one of the levels within a specific rift you've opened, might suddenly get a little crowded. For example, what do you think would happen if we paired Skeleton Summoners from Act 1 and Marlou Incinerators from Act 4? A whole lot of summoned monsters coming at your way, and you better kill them really fast, because the picture they have is insane. They have probably about 10 summoners summoning 10 skeletons at a time, with 10 Marlou Incinerators summoning their stuff. So it looks like it'll be a little getting a little out of hand very quickly if you don't situate the situation. To access Nephilim Rifts, simply bring a Rift Keystone to any town hub and click on the nearest Nephilim obelisk. Step through the portal and get ready to kill all the things. As noted above, Rift Keystones can be earned by completing bounties. However, they can also drop randomly anywhere in the world while in adventure mode. Besides that, they have also announced clans. So there will be Diablo 3 clans, so you can start up a clan guild system in Diablo 3. And that's pretty much everything for Diablo 3 based. I'm very excited to definitely want to try it out. Definitely going to get it, the expansion pack, and we'll be killing all the things many times over. Will anybody else be joining me?
Kill all the things!
Gotta kill them all! Gotta kill them all!
Pokemon!
Our next bit of BlizzCon news revolves around the MOBA. Heroes of the Storm is now allowing for beta signups. Go opt in through your Blizzard.net, or I'm sorry, Battle.net account in the beta opt-in section, and cross your fingers and hope you'll get a beta. Hearthstone will be going into open beta next month, as well as a future Android, iPhone, and Windows 8 Touch versions of the game for 2014 sometime. There was mention of some kind of like expansion sets, kind of like a normal trading card game. Every so many months, more cards come out. Where they hinted along the lines of a single player adventure as well. They have also said that about 44% of their top tier players reach that level without paying a penny. Like, they are top tier by completely being free. So this game is very much possible to be straight free to play. They are also talking about some balance tweaks, and some ranked play updates were also mentioned. They have also announced the World of Warcraft movie. Yes, that's right. They are in the works of making a World of Warcraft movie. I'm sorry. Let me redo that. They have also announced a Warcraft movie. They have been working on a Warcraft movie. They did a Q&A session. One of the big things that I'm very excited about is the fact that it's not going to be a World of Warcraft movie. It's going to be based on Warcraft 1. So I am definitely excited, and I will be going to see that movie.
Yeah, I'll wait to see the reviews.
I'll go see it with you, but you're probably going to have to explain, like, everything.
It's okay.
I played Warcraft 2. I don't think I played Warcraft 1. I might have.
I played Warcraft 3.
I know this.
I played that shortly. I didn't really care for it as much as I liked Warcraft 2. For some reason, it didn't have the same passion for me.
And this one time at Bandit Camp?
I like.
Oh my god.
I really like the Warcraft series. The actual lore. I've read all the books and everything, so I know. I've never played Warcraft 1 for its story. I've played it like very randomly. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the movie. And World of Warcraft is getting another expansion pack. Yeah, I just said that World of Warcraft is getting its fifth expansion pack. It will be called...
You sound sad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called Warlords of Draenor. The story is set in pre-Warcraft 2 Beyond the Dark Portal times in the Orcish homeland before the destruction that happened. Garrosh Hellscream created an alternate timeline beyond the portal. The orcs never sided with the Burning Legion to make up and made up the new Iron Horde. When I first wrote this out, I was like, huh, what? So I actually expanded it a bit more. So here is the storyline in its fullest of what I have gotten and gathered. So in the most current version of World of Warcraft, the Alliance and the Horde banded together, or I don't know exactly what happened, but they were trying to overthrow Garrosh Hellscream for whatever reason, because he's a dumbass. But the Bronze Dragonflight, saved Garrosh Hellscream and teleported him to the land of the Draenor, before the time of Warcraft, Orcs, and Humans. So this is before Warcraft 1. He was teleported back to. He then went and prevented a pact between the Orcish clan leaders and the Burning Legion. In the original story, the Burning Legion came along to the Orcish clan leaders, made them drink the drink, turned them into the green ugly fucks that they are now, and controlled them until they finally revolted against him and are the orcs that you know of now in its short, sweet version. This in turn because they're not with the Burning Legion anymore, it becomes makes a result of a bloodthirsty orcish horde that are operating on their own, ready to invade Azeroth. Obviously, without the Burning Legion to command them. Now, this is where things start to become confusing. So, Garrosh is in the past. What can we do? There's nothing we could do. He's in the past. Wouldn't the world have already changed, technically? Well, if you think about time travel in that way, yes. But apparently, they've already thought about that. No, apparently, Garrosh actually changed his dark portal, his 30-year younger Dark Portal, to link with the now 30 years later Dark Portal. So, yeah, anybody who walks through this Dark Portal is sent 30 years back, and anybody who walks back this way is sent 30 years forward. So there's like a time rift kind of thing going on here. Now it gets even more confusing, because Grom Hellscream is back along with Blackhand, Orgrim Doomhammer, Dorathon, who is the father of Thrall, Nezahral, before he became the original Lich King, because yes, remember, there is another Lich King before Arthas was with Lich King, Gul'dan, Kil'rog, Cho'gath, and even more. Gul'dan still drank that nasty stuff, but he wasn't successful in getting everybody else to. Also making appearances, Archimonde, Kil'jin, and Monoroth. Also in the storyline, Dorathan, who again is the father of Thrall, will be torn between following the past horde or the new old horde. The new old horde being the horde that we know and play as, and the past horde being the new Iron Horde. See, it's getting really confusing now, isn't it? So he's torn between following those two after meeting his future son. They have also announced that, luckily, there will be no doubles. No one who enters the past will ever see a double of themselves.
So what, their past selves become their future selves?
So... No, I just think Blizzard is like, you know, just so we don't make any stupid mistakes, we're not going to actually send anybody back who has a storyline in the past. They won't actually make that trip, is what I'm kind of catching on to, but yeah. So that's the storyline of the new expansion pack. What it boasts, what you're going to get out of it, is the new continent of Draenor, which is made of 7 zones, some of which you already know. Shadow Moon Valley and Nagrand are returning, even though they are returning, they are completely different from what we know. Remember, this is 30 years before we've actually ever been there. The level cap is now 100. If you get the X pack, you get one level 90 character for free. What that means is, if you're a new person playing World of Warcraft and you get the game, you can automatically start the game at level 90. Or, if you're like me, who has a level 90, I can get a second level 90. Or, if you're Mr. Overachiever over there, who has 8 level 90s, well, you're shit out of luck, because you probably have to use it on a different server now. Sorry, buddy.
You can have a max of 10 people on a server, can't you?
It's like 8 or 10. But you know what I meant. Yes, so you get... They're like, hey, no more grinding for you. Level 90, bing! With that new level 90, you also come with some level-appropriate gear, so you're not running around naked as a level 90. There will be new player models. They're making it look a little bit more prettier. There will be 3 new leveling dungeons, 4 max level dungeons, 2 more raids. There is a heroic herbs, for those who aren't into WoW lingo, that would be Upper Blackrock Spire. They have announced a new raid system, the Flex Raid system, which allows any variation of 10 to 25 players at a time. So you can have 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 people, and so forth. It's not set to 10 and 20 or 10, 25 like it used to be. There is also a strict non-flex mode, which is called Mythic, made for strictly 20 players. The hit and expertise stat are completely gone. Thank you! But they're adding stats such as move speed and chance to cleave. Quest items are gone from your bag. Heirlooms and toys and tabards. Heirlooms, toys, and maybe tabards will be going into collections. Thank you! There will also be an invention. Look, quest items are gone from your bag. That's freaking amazing. Now I don't have to have like 400 different quest items taking my 20 slots that I have left.
Oh, no, I agree with you. It's just we have a little kid for a commentator leader thing.
I see where you're going with that.
It took you long enough.
But yeah, that's definitely good. The heirlooms and toys are also a cool thing. They did the collection thing with your pets and your mounts. So instead of having the mount icon or anything in your bag, it's all in like this notebook kind of thing. And you just pull out your little notebook. And I want to ride this, or I want to summon this pet. So now they're going to be like, oh, I want to summon this toy, or I want this heirloom, or I want this tablet. So... that'll be nice. There is
I
also
want to ride the magical pony.
No.
Make it pink.
I want to ride a magical pony.
No.
I'll just ride my reindeer.
Wait. Jack Santa Claus now?
No, World of Warcraft has reindeers.
I was going somewhere else with that.
I'm not even kidding. World of Warcraft has reindeers. You can ride around on a reindeer.
I thought that was against the law.
No. You can ride around on a reindeer.
Ride animals?
On a reindeer.
Never mind.
I'm just ignoring that comment. They're also implementing an adventure guide. So what an adventure guide is, if you have dabbled with a little bit of World of Warcraft and you go back into the mods and stuff and UI type things, there was, things such as, TomTom or, Quest Helper, that's it. They kind of told you what quest to do. Well, this is basically a dumbed down version. Basically, it'll tell you what you need to do to progress in level, suggestions on how to progress your level, gear, and professions. It will include what raids you can do, as well as other PvP and PvE content. Lastly, but not least, they are adding player housing. That's right. World of Warcraft is
so stupid.
World of Warcraft is adding player housing. Something they said they will not be doing ever. They are actually doing. Though then again, it's not really technically housing. It kind of is a housing system, but it isn't. They're calling it garrisons. Your garrisons will be placed in a Draenor zone of your choosing. So you can choose any of the seven. I don't know, maybe not seven, because I think one of the seven zones is a PvP-only zone, so maybe one of the six zones. So you can choose any zone that you want. It does have leveling up, so you can level up from being a small encampment to the mighty fortress. There are a number of building plots that are available that you can place things on, such as barracks, mills, and inns. All the buildings that you place on these plots have three levels. They grant you specific things. Some will grant you some type of resource. Some will grant you limited access to professions you do not have. And some will grant you access to followers. Followers are recruitable NPCs who are sent off on missions. They have their own level, and they level up between 90 and 100. So as they go off constantly over and over again, they go 90, 91, 92, such and such, and they have their own gear. So now you can actually send somebody else out to save the world while you sit and drink your ale in your personal inn in your garrison. I like that idea.
You can't see my face, but it's just the, are you kidding me?
I'm sorry. You know how many times I've saved Azeroth? How many times I've freaking killed fucking
fire dragons?
Isn't that
why you got the game to play it?
I'm a little tired. I think I deserve to sit in an inn and send some fucking lackey out to do my world saving for once.
Cheat.
Even a hero.
In other words, you're going from being a great warrior to being a lazy general.
Yay! Yeah. But yeah, Narm, you said I was a little upset with that. I am a little upset with it.
Is it because it's going to drag you back into the game you gave up so long ago?
It may. I have played World of Warcraft for a very long time. It's probably one of the MMOs that I played for the longest of times. I played straight through vanilla from the time it came out till just before Burning Crusades came out. And yeah, Burning Crusades. I did not play Burning Crusades at all. I came back and Wrath of the Lich King. and I played from Wrath of the Lich King through Cataclysm, stopped for a little bit in Cataclysm, came back before Mists of Pandaria came out, played through Mists of Pandaria, and Mists of Pandaria got me so pissed off because for some reason I did not like Mists of Pandaria. No, it had nothing to do with the pandas. I just didn't like what they did with it. And I quit from there, and it's been, I think I only played a month of Myth of Pandaria, and then I was just done. So it's been almost a year now that I've been free of World of Warcraft. And I am a little upset that it is coming out. There are other reasons why I have quit World of Warcraft, but I'm not going to go into them. But yeah, it's just something that's coming out and it's going to put a nice storyline into it. And I'm going to really want to go back into it for the storyline, and I don't want to get trapped into the game again. So that's why I gave a bit of a sigh earlier.
That classic South Park episode is coming to mind right now.
I know.
You have to start investing in some wrist braces.
Oh my god. But luckily there is no release date for that. So, but that's basically what came out of BlizzCon this time.
Hey mom, bring me another Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew is awesome.
Totally bad for you.
It is. It's so bad, but it's so delicious.
A friend of mine says a fact to a brother all the time, but I think it's a little inappropriate to say on here, so I'm not going to say it, but it's implied.
I hear it lowers your sperm count.
That is exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, they tested that, I believe. It doesn't actually do it.
You would have to drink so much of it to actually do it.
So, don't you technically qualify then?
That's what I was thinking.
A1... I don't want kids. B2, I don't think the world is ready for a spawn of mine.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
First.
Yes, Random Jack having kids, bad for the world.
So, yes.
You just have more computer junkies.
What's it called? BlizzCon is done. All the news has pretty much been said, so we're going to go on to our main event, the Great Console War. I'm going to go into a little bit of basically what would each system. Basically, I put everything out in segments such as price exclusive, stance on indie games and such. And then I put underneath each one what the Xbox has and what the PS4 has. So we're going to go one by one, and if anybody has any input on each segment, we'll give a little bit of free talk between each segment, each category, to see if anybody has anything to say about each category. So we're gonna start off with the release date and where they are releasing and such. So the Xbox One will be coming out on November 22nd. It is coming out in 13 different countries, and more countries will be getting the Xbox sometime in 2014. The PlayStation 4 will be coming out on November the 15th, which is this Friday, and will be available in 32 countries. Though only US and Canada are getting the PS4 on the November 15th date. Some have to wait until November 23rd. Japan has to wait until February 22nd in 2014.
Wow.
Yes. Anybody have any comments on that right now?
Since when does home field advantage mean you get screwed?
Speculation says that everybody else is getting a beta console while Japan's going to get the full system in February. That's kind of what people are saying, that it's not technically a bad thing for Japan? I don't know.
I'm thinking it came down to the fact that Sony looked at the fact that they needed to beat Microsoft out in the American and North American markets, and they are pretty sure of themselves that they're going to win the Japanese market.
I will almost... actually, that sounds very plausible. That sounds actually quite spot on, too. That does sound pretty solid. I will have to agree with that one. Anybody else have anything with the launch date or anything? No? Okay. The price. Xbox One will be coming in at $499.99. And PlayStation 4 will be coming in at $399.99.
Mm. Oh boy.
Oh boy. All that money is that I don't have. I'm not going to stop for the price. So, the exclusives. The Xbox One is toting Dead Rising 3, Titanfall, Halo 5, Forza Motorsports 5, Project Sparks. They also have more than that, but that's all I wrote down. PS4.
Dead Rising. I'm interested.
Dead Rising? Okay. I'm looking forward to Titanfall. Yeah. Halo, I kind of fell off.
I played the other Dead Rising games, and I enjoyed them very much.
Mm-hmm.
I personally like the Halo story. I can't stick to their multiplayer. It just
I was a big Halo 2 player. I was a big Halo 2 tournament player with my friends. We'd done local tournaments with that with Halo 2. But after Halo 2 disappeared, we all stopped. Don't know if it was because their multiplayer just fell after Halo 2, or we got real life situations and we couldn't sit there and play hours and hours and hours of gaming. But yeah, it's probably a mix of both. Forza Motorsports. Yeah. Forza Motorsports. I love the Forza series. That's probably the top racing game that I will sit there and play hours and hours and hours of. For the PS4, they have, deep down, The Order 1886, Killzone Shadowfall, Drive Club, and Knack, and Infamous Second Son. So those are the exclusives. Anybody have anything to say about PS4's exclusives?
Nah.
No, nothing.
As we all know, Drive Club has been pushed back, even though it still is an exclusive. It has been pushed back. Though I was talking with a few people, and people are saying that Drive Club, the only reason why Drive Club exists is the fact that it's a placeholder, something to tie over the racing fans on the PS4 until a Gran Turismo can come out. So I don't know about that one as much, but it does seem it could be. So our next category is stance on indie games. The Xbox One, Microsoft has reversed its initial policy and is now allowing these devs to self-publish through a program called ID at Xbox. There is no real announcement of indie games for the Xbox One as of now, except for the Minecraft. So that's the only indie games that have been announced for the Xbox One. PS4, on the other hand, they seem to be rocking the indie world right now. During E3 this past year, they showed up with 33 playable indie games for its PS4. They also said at Gamescom that there will be over another dozen indie games coming to the PS4.
Excited.
So they look like they're going to be on the indie game front there, and that's definitely a big thing, because indie games are definitely a backbone to the gaming industry, because you started as an indie dev and then you go forth from there. So who knows? Look at Minecraft.
It's not only that. It's that Microsoft realizes they screwed up by not allowing indie developers into their previous Xboxes. So now they're trying to make smooth the waters and trying to get them coax them into going with the Xbox One now.
But no,
don't see all. Yeah, that's what it is. They're trying to get the indie developers to get on the Xbox One. And right now with the indie developers, their feelings with Microsoft, because of their past history, they're unreliable. And they just put the indie developers through so much crap, it's pathetic. Whereas PS4, Sony, they've been doing great. They've been backing these guys and helping them every which way. So naturally, people are going to go with the indie developers are going to go with the PS4 over the Xbox One.
That's not entirely true, because the Xbox 360 does have Xbox indie games. They have a whole segment for indie games. What had happened was that the Xbox One, when it was initially said, was that any indie gamers, anybody who wants to do indie games, would not be able to self-publish. They would have to get a publisher to go do all that, which would cut out on anything that indie devs were doing. And that really hurt a lot of the indie devs, in which why they reversed their policy. The Xbox 360 does have a ton of indie games. World of Keflings is one of them. They also have anything ranging from...
You must admit, Xbox... Okay, I'll grant you they may have them. It's not nearly what PS4 has.
It's definitely not nearly anything. But then again, it's the only spot that you can get a massage game for 80 gamer points and make your controller a massage stick. Not necessarily. I don't think the indie game segment of Microsoft is really censored much. They have like dating games and massage controller things, which you can change the different vibration functions of your controller, for obvious reasons not necessarily mentioned in the actual massaging manual. So now it all clicks.
Wait, which one is this? Is this one
the Xbox?
Which one is this? Thank
Yeah.
But it's no.
If you ever go on the Xbox 360's indie games, it's like the land far, far away, where the sun doesn't shine. Yeah. Anybody else have any inputs on the indie games at all?
They going for broke.
Okay, so
Microsoft just realized they screwed up by not allowing the indie developers, and big they time. Want them back. They want them. PS4 has them. They want them. That's a driving. That's like you said. That's a driving backbone. And because of all the crap that they pulled with the previous versions of the Xbox, indie developers are not going to be going to Microsoft as easy as Microsoft would like them to.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think it's going to be a difficult transition, but when you're a small business type thing, I'm pretty sure you follow the dollar signs.
Yep.
Well, you look at it, and PS4 has always helped back, didn't throw roadblocks in the way for these indie developers. Microsoft has always thrown up roadblocks for the indie developer, made them jump through hoops, do this, do that, go up, get publishers. Basically, drive them right into the ground where it's pathetic. Whereas Sony didn't do that. They worked with them, and they got them recognized. So I see more. I don't see a trend going toward Microsoft at all as far as the indies.
There'll still be some out, but it's just not. I don't think it'll be as a big scene as the PlayStation would.
No, because of their prior history, plain and simple.
That and there's more little things I guess that, yeah, and I guess I agree with that Sony's going to be bigger with it, but
I
don't know. I think everyone will eventually, if they start with Sony, they would probably eventually make a conversion for the one, try to make money in both markets.
Definitely. If it's successful, it will happen.
Or if Sony, if either one sees them as a going to a AAA sort of game, they may just pick it up and make it exclusive too. One never knows.
Yep. Narm, do you have any input on the indie game section?
I do not. Sorry.
It's okay. Well then, next category is media. The Xbox One will have all the major streaming services, Netflix, Hulu, I think Amazon. It will require you to have an Xbox Live Gold account to use those services, as well as the individual subscriptions for those services. The Xbox One will also have an HDMI in port, so you can plug in your cable blocks into the Xbox One and use their in-system TV guide with your TV, so you can watch your TV through the Xbox One for some DVR and some other things. I don't know the whole reason why behind that one. The PlayStation 4.
They want to try and make it so that you can use the Kinect controller voice activating system for your TV now?
Yes, there's that. I think they also have, if you're watching something popular, say you're watching True Blood, a commercial comes on, and a poll comes up on, do you think this person is stupid or something like that? And you could get live reaction from everybody watching on their Xbox One, so you can have some social integration with your TV as well. Or when you're watching a sports game, you could be like, oh, who's gonna win the game, stuff like that. The PS4 will also have the major streaming services, but will not require their PS Plus. They will only require the actual subscription service from the company. Sony Entertainment also said they will be making some original programming for the PS4 that is tailored towards gamers. That is actually not Sony Entertainment. That is their Sony movies or whatever, their segment.
That ought to be interesting.
Definitely. That seems to be a cool feature there.
Yeah, and not having to have the actual extra accounts is another biggie, and that's where Microsoft falls flat.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's going to be playing on Microsoft Xbox One Online is going to have the gold account for their games already anyway. It's not like it's...
Well, that's the thing. PlayStation Plus is now required as well for online gaming.
Mm-hmm. So sort of like saying that, yo, you're not required to do this for your streaming, but reality check, you're going to have to get it anyway.
Not necessarily.
Well, that's the thing. Xbox wants to be your only thing that you need. So requiring a paid subscription for a streaming device, why not get a Blu-ray player that allows you to stream for free? Why do I need to do that? What if I'm the non-gamer or the solo gamer who wants an all-around thing? What am I going to choose? I'm going to choose the PS4 over the Xbox if I don't online game or anything like that.
Which happens a lot of the time.
Yeah, there are tons of people who...
More so than Microsoft realizes.
No, I think they realize it in their what is it called when you compare the different price and stuff. I forget what it's called. How much money they're making. When they compare how much money they're making to the Sony.
You mean their profit margins?
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably will, but I think right now Microsoft's had the higher price profit margins. We still, I'm not sure that's going to be the case with their new console, but with the previous generation console, that was the case.
The only reason for the higher profit margin is because of the prices that they were charging.
You, in a free market economy, you charge what you can get.
Yeah, they seem to be tailoring more toward mid to upper class and getting a whole different class of people out there too.
Mm-hmm. Well, the next category is the online, which the Xbox One is revamping their matchmaking. Their friends limit has increased to 1,000 friends. And a single gold account will make all accounts on the system gold accounts. The PS4... Oh, yeah, and the Xbox One is getting rid of their family plan because of that whole now you only need one gold account kind of thing. The PS4 now requires PS Plus to play online games. Same as the Xbox One. It only needs one account per system. They are updating their networking to allow for cross-game chatting, the voice chat. Xbox already have that. They also have upped their friends limit, but instead of 1,000 friends, it is at 2,000 friends. And all free-to-play games will not need a PlayStation Plus subscription. So something like War Thunder coming to the PS4 being a free-to-play game will not need a PS Plus subscription to play the game.
Whereas if it went to Xbox One, you still need the gold to play it.
Correct. Well, they haven't announced anything, but it sounds correct.
So that's not confirmed. That's just that. That's
it's
just
not Sony's confirmed, but it's if
Sony's
if,
made. Sony's made a official statement. Microsoft has not commented yet.
Yes, Microsoft has not commented yet, but if you ever looked at any of the free-to-play games already out, you do need to have a gold account to play online. Everything that needs to do with the Xbox One online needs a gold account. That's how it has
been.
There
you have it.
So if you're making an assumption, yeah. But that's, again, it has not been announced.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it has not been announced, so it's not final. They could come back and say, hey, look, no, we're going to allow free-to-play games to let it slide. So
unless they say that, unless they come out and say that and actually construct it that way, the free-to-play games on the Xbox One are not free-to-play, plain and simple.
Yep.
The next category is peripherals. The Xbox One has the Kinect 2.0, which is revamped for the system. It is included in the box. The box will also have the include a headset. Older Xbox 360 headsets will not work on the Xbox One until a converter is made.
Wait a minute, does that apply to all Xbox headsets or the original plug-in headsets?
Said the older version, so it must be the originals.
I'm pretty sure all 360 headsets will not work on the Xbox One.
Okay, because I have a wireless one, and I'm curious if it would not have the same function because there's no plug-in.
I'm pretty sure that won't work either.
Well, now wait a minute. They said the older plug-ins. You even stated it said
yes,
plug-ins.
It's the older plugins, but I'm also we've announced in an earlier I don't know if it was last week or the week before his episode what's it called? Turtle Beach's headsets won't work as well on the Xbox One until they make a converter. So I think it's a universal thing. I think it's everything altogether. So,
well, I had Microsoft's official wireless
mouse. Wireless. And I think the wireless has changed as well. So I don't like it.
I'm
is, but
sure
it's
still using an infrared frequency.
I don't think the Xbox One has an infrared anymore. I guess it does.
How else would they be working their wireless remotes?
2.4 gigahertz. But that would be stupid.
Bluetooth?
Bluetooth, yeah. It's something that isn't really mentioned. So, as far as the wireless headsets, it's a hit and miss. The plug-in ones, you do have to wait or use the one that comes inside the box. The PS4, on the other hand, the PS4, the PSI has been revamped and is now called the PS Camera. This is not included in the box and will be sold separately at $59.99. The PS4 will also include a headset, and Sony has said that some PS3 wireless headsets will work with a future PS4 update. So unlike Xbox, who hasn't mentioned anything, PS4, Sony has already mentioned that they are working on an update to include that in. Next category is the controller. The Xbox One has a new D-pad, and a more precise thumbstick. Vibration motors are now located near the triggers for a new vibration experience. It uses AA batteries. There is a rechargeable battery kit sold separately. The PS4 thumbsticks are now rubberized and concave, so they're not bubbled out. They're actually bubbled in, so that's always a plus in my opinion. They have been tightened and placed further apart. The triggers are now concave as well. There is a light on the controller that makes the recognition of the camera. There is also a touchpad in the center of the controller. The light bar also, as far as I heard, will change colors depending on the game you're playing. So if you're playing something like Battlefield or Call of Duty, you're taking some hits. There is a light bar, or your touchscreen will go from green to yellow to red depending on how much life you have. So that's also, and there's probably other things that will be integrated into that as well. So that's kind of a cool addition as well.
Anything with those new, more precise controller things from Microsoft, did they say what the survivability of the new joysticks are?
No, they have not. The only other thing that I've heard of about that I didn't write in here about the Xbox One controller is that it's seamless. There is not a seam on the controller at all.
Ooh.
I guess they make them in whatchamacallit, those 3D printers.
3D printers?
Well, on the back, like there's no screw holes on the back or anything anymore, like the old controller has. It's
so
supposed to be a lot.
Can't maintenance yourself.
Yeah, it's supposed to make it feel a lot better.
It's also designed. Yeah, so you can't get into it and do any fixes or whatnot all, so that you're kind of forced into buying a brand new one.
To be honest, on the controllers, I really enjoyed the Xbox controller. I like the Xbox controller over the PlayStation controller. Though they are fixing the biggest gripes that I have for the PlayStation 4 controller. So I will have to take a look at that one. See how PlayStation has done with their new controller.
Oh, heck with it. Just get a Steam controller.
Yeah, definitely. Next category is system sharing and used games. Xbox One changed their stance. Microsoft changed their stance on their thing. Physical games need to be present to play so they can be shared. Your games can be shared. You just have to have at least a disc to be in the system. Players can now no longer share digital games. You can, though, get your digital games on another system simply by signing into your Live account. So if you're over your buddy's house and you want to play a game you own digitally but they don't own, all you need to do is sign into your Gold account and now you can play it. Used games are now allowed. The PS4 is as sharing as the same before. They had a nice 30-second YouTube video where they handed off a game and said, here, you can share my game. And it was just that simple. Same way as Xbox One, digital games can be gotten on another system simply by signing into your account. Same used game policy as older systems. Next category is streaming. The Xbox One will have integrated Twitch streaming as well as automatically recording the last 5 minutes of gameplay. They both need Xbox Live to use. The PS4 will have Twitch integration as well. It also has a simple like a stream button or a share button on the controller. To initiate this, with one button push, you're already streaming. The PS4 will also record the last 15 minutes of gameplay. None of these features require the PS Plus. So there's another thing that Sony PlayStation 4 is not requiring you to do that with their PlayStation Plus, but Xbox needs you to have the Xbox Live.
Mm-hmm.
Our next category is cloud computing, because a lot of these new systems are boasting a lot of cloud computing. So this is definitely a big new thing that's going on with these systems. With the Xbox One, Microsoft invested $700 million into a server farm called Azure. Devs can use this to implement better games by offloading certain things to these servers. The PS4, Sony on the other hand, purchased a cloud-based gaming service called Gaikai, or I really don't know how Japanese that is, but they purchased that for $308 million. This will allow PS4 owners to instantly try games on the PS Store. It will also allow playing of games from older PS systems, such as PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2. The system also allows you to stream your PS4 games from your PS4 to your Vita. Or if you're stuck, your friend can take control of your game via the internet. Or if they just want to hack into your system and take control with your permission.
Mine!
Well, that's going to make for interesting things later.
Yeah. Transfers is our next category. The Xbox One, gamer tags and achievement scores are going to be transferred. Downloadable content and retail versions of Xbox 360 games will not transfer, though music, TV shows, and movies will. Sony confirmed that the PS Plus accounts and non-gaming media will transfer. Digital games will not. Nothing else was said on that front, including trophies. And now for the main thing, the guts of the system. For the Xbox One and the PS4, the insides are pretty much the same. I've written down what the major differences are. The Xbox One has 8 gigabytes of DDR3 RAM, 3 of which are used by the OS alone. The system also has 32 megabytes of eSRAM, which apparently the past week or so, Microsoft has been getting hit hard with complaints that certain games aren't running as well on the Xbox as the PS4 is. That they're a whole step down in resolution, not playing in 1080p and playing in 720p, and are still having frame rate issues while the PS4 is playing perfectly fine, and people are speculating that this is because of the ESRAM, even though that's not what it was advertised to do. The ESRAM was supposed to give it a competitive boost, but
I hate to interject, but I actually heard that at least with Call of Duty, the PlayStation is the only one running it in 1080 pixels, but they were also the only ones having a frame rate problem.
Mm-hmm. See, it's a little back and forth. That's the thing. As I was going to mention right after this as well, that there are devs saying that there is no problem with this ESRAM, that this has no issue whatsoever. So, I'm just giving you both sides of the story. Some are saying that this 32 megabytes of ESRAM is causing problems. Some are saying that it's not causing problems. So that's out there. The major difference with the PS4 is that instead of it also has 8 gigabytes of RAM, though instead of DDR3, it's using a more powerful DDR5. There seems to be about roughly 4.5 usable gigabytes of RAM for devs to use, with a flexible extra 1 gigabyte of RAM. So they're probably sitting about the same RAM usage as the Xbox One. With that is our full breakdown of both systems. Nyrus, you have already made your decision on the console war. Why don't you tell us what you picked and why you picked it?
Well, I went with the Xbox One, but my reasons weren't exactly, how I say, based on statistical logic. It basically came down to the fact that I like the remote better. I'm consistent. I've had an Xbox 360 where I never had a PS3. And, you know, I mean, I already have the live service and everything, so it's not like that's a consideration for me. So it came down to, it's just a matter of upgrading to the next generation for me. And I have a group of people I play with on the Xbox 360, which a couple of them are going to be upgrading to Xbox One. So it's a matter of just moving on to the next level instead of trying something completely new. So, not exactly... Like, it's not that I have a problem with the PlayStation. There are things that have interested me with the PlayStation. As you said, like, they've made improvements to the remote, which made me interested a little bit, but in the end, I decided to just stick with what I've had.
Sounds good. All right, Narm, your turn.
Yes.
Here's your scenario. And this is going to go for everybody else, just so you know, because I know I can't afford one of these systems at the moment. But we all know I work in gaming retail. I call you up on November 23rd saying, you won a contest. You get your choice of a PS4 and Xbox. No hold bars. You come in, you pick up which one you want, you leave. Which system would you choose and why?
Xbox.
Okay. Why is your reason on... Why would you choose the Xbox One over the PS4?
I like the titles better.
That's the only reason?
Yep.
Okay. That's perfectly fine.
Performance, for me, it's comparable enough to really not matter in my eyes. Both of which have DVD Blu-ray players now, so that's cool. And that'd be probably one of the only reasons I need it, is because I don't have a Blu-ray player, but then again, I'd have to actually get Blu-rays. Ever since PlayStation 1, after that, moving forward, PlayStation 2, the titles never really interested me. The only thing is, they really did keep a lot of the Final Fantasy line, so that was kind of a downer, but nowadays it doesn't really matter. So the current titles that are out there coming out for Xbox appeal to me a bit more than that on the PlayStation.
And this coming from a Final Fantasy 14 player.
Which is on PC, which I'm going to be sticking on, because everybody knows PC's master race anyway.
Okay. Miss Diella, same thing to you, except I'm going to ship it to over where you are. Which one would you choose?
I'm going to have to say the PS4. I've put so much time into getting PS3 games, and they're going to let you play the PS3 games on the PS4, so I mean, I'm not wasting money.
Wait, it is backwards compatible?
No, both of them weren't. Wait, they changed it.
I thought they both
Xbox,
were not backwards compatible.
No, this is the most recent.
This is the most recent things that we know. The Xbox One was tampering with their cloud system to try and get it to be able to do backwards capability. Most recently, this past week, actually, I think in the past couple of days, if not today, they have announced that they're having problems with it. That it's going to need a lot more time before they get there. The PS3, on the other hand, will be patching. PS4, on the other hand, will be patching in backwards capability. It will not be backwards capable out of the box, but in the future, it will have a patch.
Not wasting money.
I love how stuff nowadays isn't limited to hardware capabilities. It's all just software patches. It's like, oh, hey. Kind of like in Fallout New Vegas, where the robots that like were protecting the town, all they needed was a software patch, and then they turned into like crazy-ass robots of doom. They had it in them all along.
Mm-hmm. Any other reasons why, Dale?
I've just always been a big fan of the PS, of Sony's stuff, and I really do like indie games, so I'm kind of excited for that.
Sounds good.
Mr. Mocha, what is your choice?
Well, my choice would be the PS4. Reason being, one of the major reasons being, I hate Microsoft for one.
Okay.
That is one of the major reasons. Microsoft likes to make... I hate what they did with Halo. They cut the gaming community, the PC users, straight out of it. They don't transfer a lot of stuff over. Matter of fact, they don't transfer anything over to the PC. Whereas you have the PC capabilities from PS4. A lot of titles are their AAA titles are transferred over to the PC. So I'd be for a PS4, and they also support indie developers a lot better than Microsoft does. And are not really a money grubbing company like Microsoft.
Okay. Any other reasons?
That's about it.
Okay. So my turn. And I actually sat on this quite a bit because I had to say I was walking down the line between both of them.
Yes, we've been waiting for this answer for what, 2 weeks now?
Dude, we've been waiting for this answer because I was the only one that was really indecisive the first time we actually did this talk. But yes, I have made a decision. Now, both systems, great in my opinion. Xbox has a really solid exclusives. Indie games go to PlayStation 4. The online capability, I believe the Xbox has the upper hand with. The PlayStation is doing a revamp, but that doesn't show anything.
Wait. Online has greater capability? Only if you're willing to pay for it.
Yes, only if you're willing to pay for it, but you pay for what you get for. I absolutely
you're
hate
paying,
it.
You're paying... You're,
this is my opinion.
No, wait,
calm
wait,
down.
Wait,
calm
wait,
down.
Wait, 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 wait. No, no, no. I'm going to throw something at you. Okay. All right. You got an online... You got to pay a monthly subscription to play an online game. All right? Plus, now Microsoft wants to charge you their subscription to play that online game, too.
I'm talking about, let's say, Call of Duty, which doesn't require anything. If I played it on the PlayStation 3, I just play it with the purchase of the game. If I played it on Xbox, I would have to pay the Xbox Live subscription. This is what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I would choose...
So it's actually going to be costing you more money in the long run.
Yes, but Xbox has the better overall online. Every time I've played a game online on the PlayStation system, it is terrible. It lags. It is absolutely horrible. Granted, I had a PS3 for about 3 months, and I sold it off because I hated it. But that's a totally different reason on top of why I hated it besides anything that is going into this. But that was my reasoning, is because Xbox always seemed to have the higher one. But I'm just saying, that's where I think they won. They won on that one. The PlayStation, in my opinion, won on the cloud computing. Even though Microsoft has the server farm, I like the fact that they purchased that company, Sony, when they have that streaming seems to be big. I definitely see the Vita becoming more popular now too. There's a bunch of back and forths. I could go this one, that one, but I won't keep you any longer. My decision is actually going towards a PS4. I will pick up a PS4 over the Xbox, and the major decision is the fact that Xbox reverted all of its E3 promises. I believe the Xbox would have been a better system if they didn't change anything that they changed. Think about it. We are PC gamers, every single one of us here. Which system do we use the most? Steam. What does Steam do? Exactly the same exact thing that Xbox was going to do, but the company revolted. If they left it the way it was, the Xbox One would have been the Steam of the consoles. It would have probably put Steam machines out of business.
Don't know about that, because you still had that big issue between Linux versus Microsoft.
Yes, that's
Which one gives you a better platform to game on?
Yes, that's something even further down the line in the tubes of the back end that I'm not even getting into. That's the nitty gritty. In the general spec of things. Before they changed everything, you were going to be able to... Narmasil has the Xbox One, and Nyrus has the Xbox One, and they wanted to trade games, they'd be able to do it like that. No problems. Done deal. Foop! You now have that game, I now have this game. That's how they were going to do it. All your games would be on your account, they would stay with your account forever. It was going to be the Steam of the consoles. I believe it would have been a better system there. The second reason that I picked the PS4, a company who backs out on their vision of their system does not believe in their system. If they were making this system XYZ and they did not, they literally went, okay, we're changing it to you. They did not back it up. They did not explain anything. They just went and reverted it. They did not say, this is the reason why we did this. They didn't give it a chance. They just literally went, oh, okay, our system sucks. Sorry, guys, we'll fix it up. You don't believe in your product. Besides that, the PS4's free extra stuff, being able to Twitch stream, being able to watch my Netflix, if I'm a big Netflix watcher. I watch Netflix all the time, whether I'm sitting here playing my PC and I have my dual screen up. When I'm playing a game, I have Netflix on my dual screen. So I'm always on Netflix. If I have to pay extra subscription for that, that's stupid. In my opinion. Unfortunately, that is my decision. I'm going with the PS4 on this console war. Yep. And no, it
so,
wasn't.
There you have it. We have 3 for the PS4 and 2 for the Xbox One.
One abstention.
Yes. And as of last week's episode, Mr. Border was sitting like, oh, you're going for the PlayStation, the Xbox. No, it had nothing to do with going against Border. As I said, I had legitimate reasons behind everything. Will I ever get one of these systems? Probably not.
I don't care. I thought Titanfall was the game that you were interested in.
Yes, Titanfall was a very, very much big game. As I said, the exclusives, in my opinion, went to Xbox. Titanfall and Forza. Halo, not so much anymore, but Titanfall and Forza are the big ones that I was looking for. But Titanfall is also going for the PC, so I don't have to worry about that one.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. Steam Machine wins. Ha!
It's not Steam Machine, it's by PC. Build-A-Beast wins. Really quickly, one other bit of news that I wanted to mention is that before we wrap this up, the Humble Bundle, if you don't know what that is, the Humble Bundle is a system that comes out, they started off with every so often they bundled up a bunch of games. You pay for what you want over $1, you get X amount of games. If you pay for over the average, you get an extra 1, 2, 3 games or something like that. Then they expanded into the Humble Weekly Sale, which every week they had a thing. But instead of paying a minimum, they gave you, like, here's the price. If you pay over this, you get all this kind of thing. They recently upgraded to link with your Steam account. Now, all you need to do is when you purchase the game, instead of copying the code and putting the code into your system, you can just click the button and it automatically registers it to your account. So you no longer have to sit there and put each and every single code in. You just click the button, boom, it's in your account. They also allowed you to buy a pack. Let's say I don't know if it's the weekly or the big bundle, was Batman Arkham City, Batman Arkham Origins, Fear 1, Fear 2, or Fear 2, Fear 3, not Fear 1, and Scribblenauts Unlimited. If I wanted just the Batmans and I don't want Fear, or I already own Fear, I click this simple little button. And I can send my gift key, I can give the keys to somebody else. So they added that as well. But they have also upgraded one more step within this past week. They have now opened up the Humble Bundle Store, which every day there will be a select amount of games, 5-6 games, that are going up for anywhere between 50 and 75% off of retail price. So if you don't want to wait for those bundles to come out, you can always purchase up games for 50 to 75% off. I think there's about 5 to 10 games a day, which directly 10% of all 10% of the price that you pay goes directly towards charity. Remember, the Humble Bundle, when you pay for a pack, whether it's the Humble Bundle itself or the Humble Weekly Bundle, you get to choose how much goes to charity. So if you pay $1, you could put the whole thing to charity. You could put a little bit to the Humble Bundle and a little bit to the developers. However, which way you want to do it, you can do it. So this store, on the other hand, is straight 10% goes to charity, as well as the split between everyone else on top of that. But you get that straight discount. So that's everything with that. Thanks for listening to our show. Rate, subscribe, comment, and donate. We are on Podomatic, Funtime Gaming at Podomatic.com. We are also on Stitcher, so keep an eye on us for there. We are also on iTunes, so look for Funtime Gamecast on iTunes. Join our gaming community website at ftg.guildlaunch.com. Follow me at ftgrandomjack on Steam. You can also find Narm on Steam at ftgnarmzo. Email us at funtimesgaming. Email us at funtimesgaming@gmail.com. Let us know what system you chose and why, and maybe we'll probably read it out. With that, everyone, have a good night.
Later.
Take care.
Farewell.
Narm.
I just realized my mic was up. Sorry. Let's see. Think of something clever to say. My beard itches. I'm going to go scratch it. Bye, guys.
Wow.